Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. I am Will Brinson, joined by Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what if I told you, and that was supposed to be a 30 for 30 intro, because there should be a 30 for 30 intro about sports bloggers who work at home with their dogs and their kids, because it's impossible, isn't it?
I've been doing it for several years, so I don't feel sorry for you.
You're a pro. Well, so we have this dog now named George. He's now playing with this bowling ball in the room that I'm recording as a lady who I'm paying to watch my child watches my child so we can record this podcast. Seems reasonable, right? But George is a 8-month-old King Charles Cavalier. My wife told me when we purchased him for an amount of money that will go...
Obscene amount of money, because those are dogs that historically went to royalty, if I recall.
Yeah, and
correctly.
We got a discount on him. He wasn't like a full bred, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, like we went to a place in between Lexington, North Carolina, and Thomasville, North Carolina, to get this dog. And
not a hotbed for King George's.
It's not, oddly enough. At any rate, she described him as a, quote, low-energy love sponge when we purchased him. This dog is bleeping insane.
That's what my wife calls me, by the way.
Yeah, no, I was like, that's great. I want to be a low-energy love sponge, too. This dog, and listeners of this podcast will probably hear it. By the way, this podcast will be shifting to the Pick Six podcast, which is coming soon. So follow us on Twitter at Will Brinson, at Ryan _Wilson. I think you might be involved in it, right? Maybe, who knows?
Is dead can never die.
I thought about asking our bosses if I could do a weekly Game of Thrones recap for CBS. Like, would that be crazy? I mean, it's a game, right?
They would say no, but you could certainly ask. Maybe we'll bring back Housecast at some point too. So there's something to keep it down.
I know. I kind of feel like we should just do our own podcast anyway. But here we are. We're doing this one.
Do it about dogs.
We could do it about dogs. Oh yeah. So anyway, this dog now he anytime there's like any noise outside of our house, he goes ape smell barking.
Yeah.
If a dog barks on the TV, he loses his mind. It's just a whole.
I think that's part of being a little dog syndrome. Yeah. I don't have a lot of experience with St. George's, but we have like a huge yellow lab and he just lays around, doesn't do anything. So unless like it's late at night and he hears something out in the, like a deer in the backyard or something, he won't say anything. But it seems like when you walk by the house of a little dog, you're going to hear about it if you're just, you know, even if you're not intending on burgling.
Yeah, and this dog has FOMO too. And he's like, right now he's like up underneath the couch because he's lost a ball underneath the couch and he's whining about it. It's like, George, shut the bleep up, man. Like nobody, like, there's 500. I'm in a room with 900 different toys and 50 different balls, and he's under the couch because he needs this one particular ball that he's lost under there. And it's actually not even lost under there. It's hidden behind my back because it's loud and annoying. I don't want to play with it.
Anyway, knowing nothing about George, I'm going to blame the parents.
That's fair. That's fair, dog. That's fair. George is basically about as functional as 2011 Marty Herney.
Oh.
Hey, to segue into it. And costs about as much money. So anyway, we're going to talk today about the Panthers GM situation, the Kirk Cousins situation, and Le'Veon Bell as well, plus anything else that's newsworthy. But let's dive into first the Panthers GM situation. You and I have talked. We've been doing this podcast or some version of this podcast for like 7 years now. Like, mm-hmm. My 7-year anniversary of getting hired by CBS just came up, which is crazy. Maybe it might be 8-year, but Matt Moore told me it was 7, so I'll go with that. And we've talked a lot about the Panthers because, you know, I live in North Carolina, grew up a Panthers fan. It is we've been doing this podcast since before Marty Herney got fired, right? I mean, like,
oh, absolutely, because we were making fun of the drafts where he took what's his face from Notre Dame in the second round,
Jimbo Clausen.
Took Jimbo Clausen. The next year, they wisely took Cam Newton, of course. But also, I think the 2010 draft with Clausen second round, didn't he make some crazy trades and trade up in the first round for the guy from Florida State?
Yeah, in 2008, he traded up. He got drafted Jonathan Stewart and then traded a future first round pick to come up and take Jeff Otaw in the first round as well. So they had
so that's the offensive lineman for Pitt. And then a year or two later, who was the Florida State defensive end that he traded for?
Well, it was the next year. He had no first round pick. And needed to move up into the second round to get Brown. Traded a future first round pick, the 2010 first round pick, for Everett Brown. All of the drafts, Marty Herney had a nice run from 08 to 2000, from 02 to 08 of first round picks. I mean, legit, it's like Julius Peppers, Thomas Davis, John Beeson, D'Angelo Williams, Jordan Gross, Chris Gamble. and
Jonathan Stewart.
Jonathan Stewart. I mean, that's a really, you know, running backs back to back is questionable, but that's a really nice run there of good players.
And those two running backs actually were very good in Carolina for a while.
Yeah. And look, it's amazing. Joe Person, our pal, your William and Mary pal, added it up. 14 Panthers acquired in some form or fashion by Marty Herney are still on the roster in 2017. He got fired in 2012. But he
probably brought that up during his job interview the other day with Jerry Richardson.
Sure. Like, hey, like this guy's been winning with my team. Anyway, what did you think about Dave Gettleman being fired by the Panthers?
Well, I don't think anyone saw it coming. I thought it was a weird thing to do in late July, just as Ron Rivera said, he didn't find out about it until the rest of us did on Monday. Here's the thing, and it seems like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this had to do with, in part, with how Gettleman did contracts with players and his relationship with those players.
100%.
Here's the thing, and I said this on the radio the other day when I was talking about Gettleman, and then I compared to Jim Harbaugh. These guys aren't bank managers. Their job isn't to like be huge on customer service. They're trying to win football games. And this is a guy who went 15-1 2 years ago. They struggled a little bit last year, but that's because Cam was hurt for the most part. And if Cam's healthy, you would imagine that they'd be pretty good this year. So, Jim Harbaugh left because he couldn't get along with Jed York, and that team went straight into the crapper. I suspect that the Panthers will be better. Herney sort of knows how it operates over there. They still have Ron Rivera. They still have a lot of pieces there. But don't forget, Sean McDermott's gone. The assistant GM is gone because he's now in that role in Buffalo. So there are some guys that are missing. And, we'll see how that works. But I think it starts with Cam Newton being healthy. But I don't understand why you fire a guy just because he's grumpy sometimes.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern for me is that if you are letting a guy who makes good football decisions go to bring back your old GM who you pressured into giving out a bunch of contracts after the lockout. And I mean, Dave Gettleman basically spent the first 2 years of his tenure in Carolina getting the Panthers out of salary cap hell that Marty Herney put them in. And I think it is worth noting, and I wrote about this in a lengthy article for CBS, but Marty Herney, the contracts he gave out in 2011, he signed as the GM. But some of them, including a huge contract to Thomas Davis, who was coming off a third torn ACL at the time, a huge contract to D'Angelo Williams, who was a running back who clearly he had been good, but it wasn't going to age perfectly. James Anderson, who they gave a big contract to, they gave Charles Johnson $72 million. All of these deals looked like deals that were being given by Jerry Richardson. Or being forced on Marty Herney by Jerry Richardson to some degree.
And so basically Marty Herney is Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. Yeah. That works. If you really want to get political and get us both fired. Absolutely.
Yeah. So just do what you're told, Marty.
Yeah. I think that Dave Gettleman in part, I would guess that he heard from Jerry Richardson that you need to take care of Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen. And Dave Gettleman's response was, we don't take care of guys. We pay guys for future performance, not past performance. And
is this speculation or is this the word on the street?
This is my speculation, but I don't think it will be, you won't find it after talking to me about this. You won't find it to be a coincidence when Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen both have new contracts before the start of the regular season.
So this is, let me ask you this. Jerry Richardson seems like his history is like he's played football.
He's a cutthroat business dude.
Right. The players seem to love him. But during the lockout in 2011, he was one of the guys that were saying, hey, if they don't have health insurance, they don't have health insurance. That's on them. They need to sign a sheet of paper so we can get the season started. And it seems weird now in the years since that he's pushing his general managers to spend his money on guys that he likes who are over the hill.
Yeah. Well, so remember, first and foremost, that Jerry Richardson is the only owner, I believe. The Chiefs might do this too, but I don't think they do. Jerry Richardson doesn't have a Panther at midfield of Bank of America Stadium. He has the friggin' NFL shield painted there. That's how loyal that guy is to the league.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that insane? Like, he doesn't have the logo at midfield. He has a Panther. He's an NFL shield painted in the middle of Bank of America Stadium.
Is that not coincidence?
No, it's not coincidence. That's why he's diehard for the league.
All right.
And then so his value system is the shield. And he's been burned a little bit by recent years because he backed Dean Spanos big time on the Chargers being the team to L.A. Jerry Jones and some of the other owners kind of hosed him on that in that regard. And then he's got the shield, and then he goes players. And he's big. Thomas Davis is a Walter Payton Man of the Year, big time in the community, maybe his favorite Panther ever. Greg Olsen does a ton of work in the community as well. He helped the Levine Children's Hospital. I had a family friend literally 2 days ago that their young son got his heart replaced there. I mean, it's a big deal in that community. And I think that Jerry Richardson, as he's getting older, feels like maybe the Panthers under his stewardship were dinged a little bit with the departure of guys like D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. I don't think he cares that much about the players. I think he cares about his players, right? And so,
why did he fire Marty Herney in the first place then?
The Panthers were losing, and it's a good question. I mean, they were in a bad.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe the Panthers were losing, and you know, that supercedes at some point, though. But at some point, the bottom line has to matter.
But it's like the Panthers were losing and in bad salary cap shape. It's like, well, then why did you fire the guy who fixed it, got him winning? And I think to a degree, Jerry Richardson has probably talked himself into believing that that Dave Gettleman won with some of Marty Herney's players. And it's not completely.
It's like having a crazy girlfriend, and then you finally get away from her, and you get a normal girlfriend, and then a couple years in, you're like, you know what? That girl wasn't that crazy. Things are stable now.
Yeah, you're like, oh man, she was wild in bed. Like, you know, like, you're like, all right, you know, I can get back to crazy, and then you're like, wait, why did I go to crazy?
So we'll see. Yeah, I guess we have to wait 2 years and see what happens.
Yeah, marry the accountant, guys. Especially if you're not good at numbers, marry the accountant. Always marry the accountant. My wife can't do math. I thought very interesting too. Yesterday on Thursday, this happened. We're recording this on Friday. On Thursday, the Panthers handed Trey Turner, who was one of Dave Gettleman's guys, a contract extension. And it was odd because I the numbers, 4 years, I think it's $40.5 million with $20.5 million guaranteed is what I saw. I was out playing golf, of course, because it's Thursday. It's Thursday before the season, you know, before the training camp start. That's a good contract for both Trey Turner and the Panthers. And it was handed out by Marty Herney to one of Dave Gettleman's guys. It was an interesting little, not a
day
shot.
Day one.
Day one. It's wild. Like, all right, Trey, we're just going to hammer this thing out. You have to wonder how far were negotiations with Gettleman on a deal. Is this an overpay? It doesn't feel like it is. It feels like a pretty good contract if he can live up to his expectations. And, you know, it was getting a guy who's 24, locking him in, you know, most of his prime.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense. It's just the timing sort of, it's not odd. It's more funny than anything. It's sort of like Oprah. You get one, you get a contract. So just line up at the door to Herney's office and have your hand out.
It's almost like they had to give one of Gettleman's guys a deal before they could get Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen done. You know, this podcast is brought to you by Blue Apron. Are you hanging out wishing that you could eat some food, Ryan? Because I'm hanging out wishing I could eat some food.
Got Blue Apron the other day, as a matter of fact. My sister's family was in town, so.
Dude, did you cook Blue Apron for them?
My wife got it. She thought ahead and said, I'm going to get some Blue Apron to ease the eating burden. And we had fish tacos, if I recall correctly.
Really? Awesome. That's actually really smart. I hadn't thought about getting, because you can get it for like a bigger family and double down on the number of meals you make.
That's right.
Best part about Blue Apron, their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, like Ryan's wife and Ryan's in-laws who had their minds blown by some fish tacos. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. As you noted, delicious fish tacos. Some of the other upcoming meals, seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers. That sounds good. Creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges. Fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn and cubanella pepper. I'm about to dive into some lunch. Chile butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. My goodness, this all sounds very good. And you can do it for $10 per person, per meal. Stop wasting your money on takeout. My wife she didn't love to cook until Blue Apron. Now she loves to cook. I like eating takeout, but it burns through cash. It's really expensive. It ends up being like $20 per person. It's crazy. So get Blue Apron. And go to blueapron.com/roughing. We'll give you 3 free meals with free shipping. And if you mention my name, I will give you a free dog. You can have this. You can have this spaniel that won't leave me alone during this read. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. blueapron.com/roughing. All right. On the Steelers front, Ryan, your boy Le'Veon Bell did not get paid by the Steelers long term, although they did reportedly make an offer, a substantial offer, I believe.
Yeah. So the he's going to play in the franchise tender, which is $12.1 million, which isn't bad for 2017. They leaked part of the deal, not the entire deal, according to Florio Pro Football Talk. So they were going to pay him average 12 million a year. First 3 years was 40 and change guaranteed, but he turned it down. So I don't know the details of the rest of the contract, so I'm not sure what his decision making process was. Le'Veon did say that he is, and he's right. He's not just a running back. He's a sort of an all around player. He's arguably one of the best wide receivers in the league, if that's what he's solely decided to do. But he's certainly one of the best wide receivers on the Steelers roster, full of great wide receivers. So he's going to play for $12 million next year. I don't get the sense that people feel like this is going to be the parting of ways for Le'Veon and the Steelers a year from now. They can certainly franchise him again, and we'll get to that with Kirby Cousins. But I suspect they'll try to get a long-term deal done if he stays healthy and doesn't get in trouble. Hey, look, guys playing franchise tags all the time. And I suspect I don't have any reason to believe he'll suddenly be terrible. I think he'll continue to be a big part of that offense. And I don't think it'll affect him from one day to the next. Whether he shows it for training camps, another issue. Ike Taylor, who now is with NFL Network, said he might hold out. But when he shows up, guess what? He'll be ready to go. So, again, I'm not losing any sleep over Le'Veon, how he decides to spend his August.
If I'm Le'Veon Bell, and I look around. Is it 30 million guaranteed on a 5-year deal? Is that right?
I don't know the specifics. I didn't see the years in the PFT.
I heard write up. 30 million over the first 2 years guaranteed, which is that's a lot of dough. I find it hard to believe he wouldn't sign that. Right? I mean, if you're getting 30 million over the first 2 years, which means that your contract is probably, he said he wants to be paid like a running back, a RB1 and a wide receiver 2. If I'm looking at contracts and I see that Tavon Austin, I mean, look, Pierre Garçon got $47.5 million. You know, he's not going to get paid like AJ Green, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown, Bryant, Demaryius, or Julio. But you see these second level wide receiver deals. And I have no problem with him, wanting to make more than Marvin Jones and Alan Hearns. But then you look at their total guaranteed money. I mean, those guys got 16, 13 million guaranteed money. I mean, if you get $30 million in guaranteed money in your Le'Veon Bell, you have to take it. You're not going to get a combination of a running back and a wide receiver contract. It's just not going to work that way.
Yeah. And I mean, the fear is that, if you get hurt next year, then what? I mean,
right. And you almost wonder if there wasn't a situation where there's lots of outs in this for injury and suspensions, because he's been suspended. He would stand to face another suspension, and he's been injured multiple times in his career.
He's been suspended twice. I don't know if the last suspension counted towards his 4 until you get suspended for the year like Martavis did, because there was some mix-up with his cell phone and whatever. But if it did, that means he could be on number 3 or number 4 in terms of strikes. And the 4th strike is when you have to sit out for the whole year. So, yeah, that would obviously be a consideration. You're not going to pay a guy to lay around the house all year. But here's the thing. I thought about talking to a bunch of guys that we know this offseason, but didn't get around to it. But if you have one player, would you rather have Antonio or Le'Veon?
Not counting suspensions and injuries?
No, counting everything you know about both.
I would take Antonio over Le'Veon.
I think so.
Yeah, for sure. And that's only – but if you took out suspensions and you took out the injury history, because dude's got an ACL injury. I mean, and got injured in the playoffs. If you took out the injury risk and they were just coming in today with both clean slates, I'd take Le'Veon over Antonio.
Yeah, the only issue is that you can win with Antonio and, D'Angelo Williams knockoff as running back. It's a lot harder to win with Le'Veon and then some plan B at wide receiver.
Sammy Coates.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Sammy No Hands. So, right, because you can put two guys on Le'Veon and pretty much shut him down. You can put two guys in Antonio and slow him down, but it's a little harder to stop, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree completely with you. And it's interesting when you look at these contracts for these second wide receivers, from 20 to 25, you have – like these names on these, it's like Kenny Britt, Kenny Stills, Golden Tate, and Corey Davis. There's a rookie in there. He landed in there, which is fascinating to me, because that shouldn't be happening given like, I mean, like, you would think there would be enough, you would think there would be enough, right. Like, enough wide receivers who got paid.
Yeah. And that just goes to Le'Veon's point about how he wants more. But as you point out, he's already got more. He just didn't sign the piece of paper.
Right. All right. Last topic. But before we get to that last topic, I mean, I'm just curious. What's your philosophy on toddlers and telephones?
What do you mean? Like, you want to give your son an iPhone?
No, I mean, I literally just handed my son an iPhone in the middle of this podcast because
no, that's 100% okay.
Okay, he has decided that he is not gonna he's not chill today. And since we have to record, I handed him a phone to make sure that he doesn't kill himself while I'm in the other room.
Recording. Oh yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like I have a 5-year old and my other son's 10. Jesus,
you have a 10-year old. You are so old.
It's crazy, but he hasn't asked for one, but he's not getting a phone. Some of his friends have phones, and that's a deal breaker. But there have been occasions where I've done the podcast 3 and 4 years ago where I would give my 2 or 1 year old or 2 or 3 year old at the time, probably. Yeah. I would give him a phone and let him watch Netflix or play a game or something because I needed 20 minutes because otherwise he's just going to be yelling and screaming or pulling things on his head.
Right. Yeah. Like Robbie likes to watch this Diz Junior app on the TV. And so I could maybe get away with that, but he'd be screaming about like kick, jump, slide and Kion. And then sometimes he gets mad when the wrong short comes on. So it wasn't worth the risk.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
He's like, the exact episode that they want to watch.
He's like, no. Chip and Cheetah. I'm like, dude, like, just watch whatever. Like, who cares?
Right, that's exactly.
Okay,
that's
good. I just needed to. I needed to get a fellow parent to give me a.
And I'm parent of the year, so
a C+ approval rating on right. on that decision making. All right, final topic of this particular podcast. Thanks again to Blue Apron for sponsoring it. Kirby Cousins, or should I say, Kurt Cousins?
Kurt Cousins
did not get paid by the Washington Redskins, and it's a fascinating topic because the Redskins basically told Kirk Cousins that they're not interested in paying him over the long haul because what's going to happen here? I mean, to me, it's very obvious what's going to happen. He's going to play this year under the franchise tag. This is barring a trade. And then he is going to take the
sign with,
no, but he's going to get the transition tag, I think, in next offseason.
I thought you were going to say he's going to end up in San Francisco.
No, and then maybe a sign and trade situation. But the thing with the transition tag is, it's way less money, and the Redskins have an out if somebody desperately wants him and decides that they want to sign him. So
let me ask you this. What is Bruce Allen, the general manager or the president, as it is in Washington, what is his long-term plan for the quarterback position?
I have no idea.
Like, what's the long game here besides pissing off Kirk Cousins?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's – and like – okay, so here's the thing. The deal that they offered – and by the way, we were saying Kurt because in case anybody didn't see it, Bruce Allen with his – sort of southern accent called Kirk Cousins Kurt 6 or 7 times in a press conference. I don't think it's look, first of all, you can kind of say Kurt if I was telling my wife about this and she was like, you're sort of saying Kurt now too. But if you're talking about a $50 million to $100 million contract you're negotiating with a player and you're going public to all your fans about said contract and said player, do yourself a friggin' favor and pronunciate his name correctly. I don't know. That seems basic. On the contract front, $53 million over 5 years in terms of just being the guaranteed money with $72 million guaranteed for injury. And so roughly, I guess, $20 million a year or thereabouts. It's not that crazy of a deal for Kirk Cousins, but that's not what the market bears. And you got to pay what the market bears.
That's the other part of that sentence. That's right. I mean, Derek Carr just got paid because he's the latest quarterback, franchise quarterback to get his deal. So now he's the high, I think he's highest paid right now, isn't he, Derek Carr?
Highest paid per year, but Andrew Luck has more guaranteed.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how it works. The latest franchise quarterback to get paid usually in some measure ends up having being the highest paid quarterback for the next 2 or 3 months until the next guy comes along. It's not that outrageous. And Kirk Cousins is a franchise quarterback. If Bruce Allen doesn't think so, then I eagerly await his plan B. That's going to involve a lot of losing and everyone else, because he's apparently in Dan Snyder's ear. So I'm sure everyone else will lose their jobs. You know, it's interesting. My buddy Vinny Serrato, who does radio now in Baltimore with our other friend Bob Haney, he thought that Bruce Allen was going to get canned shortly after the whole Scott McLuhan meltdown happened. But he's still there, so maybe he knows something we don't.
Yeah, I think he's just tight with Donnie Snyder. He's just tight.
Donnie Snyder.
Bryce Allen is just tight with Donnie Snyder. So, you know, that's all you need to know. I think it's just a situation where at this point, and I think it would be interesting, you know, if you look at Kirk Cousins, and you really have to pronunciate it.
That's why I like Kirby.
Nickname. Yeah, Kirby. You can't mess up Kirby. I think that there's a case to be made that at the end of this whole process, that the Redskins will okay. So let's say they transition tag him and he plays two more years, right? They franchise tag him, transition tag him. That's $53 million plus they paid him $19 million last year.
I mean, they're just throwing. What's the difference?
But then his rookie contract, it might not be that crazy of a move to just do year to year on guaranteed contracts rather than give him the whole shebang, right?
Beyond the next year's franchise tag, you mean?
So you transition tag him next year, so then you're at $53 million. Then yeah. Add in $20 million from last year. That's right. $73 million, and then the value of his rookie contract, which was 4 years and maybe $5 million.
Oh right, yeah, you're counting that. But at you're going to need a quarterback in 2 years, though.
Right. No. Of course. Now that part is a problem. But I'm saying if you end up getting Kirk Cousins for a total of 7 years for $78 million, maybe that's not that crazy after all.
Yeah, but you're talking about the four seasons. 1 year, he sat behind Robert Griffin III. Another year, second year, they split time. So that isn't even – Bruce Allen, was he even there at that point? Was he there when Shanahan was there?
He's been there forever, I think.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I mean, you're going to have to need a quarterback, and you can't say in 3 years, well, look at the deal I got you on Kirk Cousins back in 2013. Don't forget about that because,
look, that's right. But can't you see him selling Dan Snyder? Like, hey, we'll just pay this guy through this. We'll figure it out. And, like, that's the most Redskins thing ever, to be so short-sighted that you don't even worry about your quarterback situation.
It must be extremely annoying to be a Redskins fan when you have everything set up just like you need it, and then the dummies in the front office can't get out of their own way.
All right, well, let me ask you this. What would you have done if you were Billy Allen and you were someday I'm going to like say this on like a Washington station. I think I was on with Dukes and I think I had Chad Dukes in DC and I think I called him Bryce Allen. And but the Redskins only listen to their own flagship station that's owned by the team. What would you do if you were Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder? What would you have done before the deadline? Would you have offered Kirk Cousins?
Well, they did offer him something because that's what Billy Allen told us in that press conference where we didn't know his quarterback's name. But Kurt said that he wasn't going to sign it. He said he prayed about it and he
it was a terrible deal.
Didn't entertain the offer. Right. You actually tweeted about the fact that the money that they guaranteed is the same money he's making anyway on the franchise tag. You pay the guy. I mean, you pay him.
You didn't retweet it? You saw that you didn't retweet it?
I put it in the post I wrote about Kirk Cousins. Oh, okay.
That's even better.
Glad you read it.
Yeah. I did read it. I noticed it was in there.
But, yeah, you pay the guy unless you don't think. And I would be interested in what Jay Gruden thinks about Kirk Cousins because clearly he seems to like him. That's the impression I got. He thought enough of him. Well, I was going to say you benched him for Robert Griffin III, but you might be playing quarterback if that was the other option. But I think, you know, it starts with Jay Gruden. Otherwise, if Jay Gruden wants this guy, I don't know what Bruce Allen's doing. You pay the guy, you pay him what he's worth, which is, as you point out, north of $20 million. And then you get on with it. You worry about other things. It's not like – I don't think their salary cap situation is one in which they can't afford to pay their quarterback. But
yeah. No, I mean, so I guess – I mean, I would have gone to him and been like, look, you're going to get $53 million guaranteed in the next 2 years if we keep you. We will also give you two more years fully guaranteed – yeah, not fully guaranteed. Or just build it in like you have to play –
pay him $24 million a year. Done and done. Move on to the next issue.
But be like, we're going to give you $100 million over the next 4 years. Yeah. You're a quarterback through the age 30. It's fully guaranteed. Deal or no deal. And if he says no to that, then
– that's fine.
All these Instagram people are right. If they're like, hell, like, oh, you greedy SOB. Like, yeah, if you won't take $100 million fully guaranteed right now for 4 years, you're a lunatic. But if you're the Redskins, your option is $100 million guaranteed for 4 years or $53 million guaranteed for 2 years, and then you are back into quarterback purgatory.
Yeah.
In quarterback hell. They're currently in quarterback purgatory.
Yeah, that's where they sort of hang out. Yeah, the Instagram thing is worth mentioning that Kirk Cousins posted something. I don't know what he posted on Instagram, but the people started coming after him because he refused to take the deal that Bruce Allen put on the table, even though, as you point out, it's not a super great deal for him. So lesson there is get off Instagram.
Yeah, really. Don't go on social media. Just pray about it. So there we stand with Kirk Cousins. I think the other option that's out there is for them to trade him to San Francisco. And this has been mentioned by Adam Schefter. I mean, I don't. Brian Hoyer? Brian Hoyer? Brian Hoyer? How about Brian Hoyer in a first round pick next year? Would you do that if you're the Redskins?
I would just know. I would sign Kirk Cousins if you like him and he seems to be a
You can't sign him now.
Now, but I mean last week. I would have saved myself a headache of doing all this stupidity. Because you don't know. I mean, Sam Darnold's now talking about he's not coming out. And don't forget, Matt Barkley, maybe a year at this time during his head leading into his final year USC, people were talking about him as the next coming to Joe Montana as well. He's terrible. So I don't know how good Sam Darnold's going to be.
He's backing up Brian Hoyer.
That's right. Oh, my God. Great point. Yeah. And same thing with Mark Sanchez. Carson Palmer was the exception. Matt Leinart was not the exception. So I'm just talking about USC quarterbacks here. But guys that were so built up in the year before they came out, I don't know what you're going
to
get.
USC is basically a homeless man's NC State when it comes to quarterbacks.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
By the way, you'll appreciate that. You need to go tell your buddy who's a State fan to go look at Cole Kubik, I think is his name. He's an SEC Network sideline reporter.
Yeah.
His prediction for college football playoff is like Alabama, Washington, Ohio State, and NC State.
Wait, why would he do that?
I don't know. I quote tweeted and said, "This is how you get a piss test when you show up to work on Monday."
Yeah,
we're going to need you to take this test because you're on drugs.
Yeah, that's a hot take drug test right there.
Yeah, I think. It is dumb to bank your future on a quarterback being available in the draft and being good. Like we don't, Josh Rosen and or Jake Rosen and Josh Allen could bomb this year or not be good. And Sam Darnold could stay in school for 2 years or he could bomb too. I mean, there's nothing guaranteed in the world of NFL drafting. And I think the other problem too, is now that you're paying Kirk Cousins for 2017, like, you're not going to get a credit when you show up in next offseason and say, all right, now we paid you all that money. We would, however, like to do – like, you're going to have to give him a four-year deal that starts at $23 million in guaranteed money. And he's going to be like, look, like, I can leave after next year and hit the open market, and I will get $100 million guaranteed, no problem, because it's the open market and the Jets and Browns – and maybe the Rams and maybe the Cardinals and all these teams are going to need quarterbacks. Like, if you want to pay me, pay me.
I don't get it. I agree. I don't know what the Redskins are doing. I can't say that enough.
It just feels like time is a flat circle, Ryan, which is an appropriate way to sign off for this podcast because you and I once again find ourselves recording and maybe new podcast. So we'll check that out. Pick Six Podcast. Thanks for listening as always. You got anything you want to say on the way out?
Adios.
Know you later. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Blue Apron for the sponsorship. @Ryan_Wilson07 on Twitter @WillBrinson. We'll talk with you guys later.